This is Financial Standard, the definitive source of news, thought leadership and analysis for Australian wealth management professionals. Financial Standard, take the lead.
Hi, welcome to the Financial Standard podcast. I'm Matthew Wai, and I'm a journalist at the Financial Standard team. Innovation has been in the forefront of a lot of people's minds, particularly for investors looking to capitalize on the prominent opportunities from AI and some other digital investments. I believe we are no strangers to NVIDIA and their company chip manufacturer, Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company, charging the course in this space, which we'll talk about a little bit later. Today, we have Annabelle Miller, Principal Investments at ECP Asset Management, to discuss the current dynamics and her opinion on some of the opportunities arising. Thank you for being with us today, Annabelle.
Thanks for having me.
Before we unpack the areas where you think that perhaps more captivating in terms of investments, I would like to find out what exactly is the current phase of AI development we are currently witnessing?
Yeah, I would say it's complex because AI has been around for a number of decades, actually. And so you're seeing a range of areas where it's mature and a range of areas where it's less mature. And so we see some narrow applications, you know, when you're on Netflix and getting recommendations, that's a form of AI that's very mature. But when you're talking about things like artificial intelligence and the ability to reason, that's very immature at this stage. So whilst there's a large amount of investment going into the area, I think it's important to look at the verticals in where it's being deployed.
Talking about infrastructure, will data center continue to be critical infrastructure investment moving forward?
Absolutely. Now, this is a very interesting area because when you consider the unit economics of the data center and the cost it takes to build just 1 gigawatt, it's enormous. It's a few billion dollars. And yet by 2030, we need, you know, 200 or more gigawatts. So you multiply that and you end up with a very large sum of money, you know, in the trillions of dollars to build out data center infrastructure. And I think investors sort of can't conceptualize or struggle to conceptualize the long lead times it takes to build one data center, let alone hundreds of them. And the constraint that we're really running into is the power side of things. So when you think about a data center, it consumes a lot of power. And we're talking about, you know, a small scale nuclear plant kind of levels of power or a mid-sized city, say a million households. That's the amount of power one of these AI-specific data centers sucks up. And so when we look around the world, there's not many areas where you can build these data centers that have access to that kind of power without placing enormous constraints on the grid. And so, you know, as we move forward, that's going to be a critical element we need to solve for. And that also speaks to the amount of capital that's being invested in the data center space right now.
So just on top of that, I think it's interesting to see, you know, like, not every places that has, you know, sort of resource to establish this, develop these data centers. What do you think in terms of domestic Australia is at the moment steering this place?
Yeah, I can't really speak to too much on the domestic side of things. I think you have a number of small local players playing in the market, but the barriers to creating data centers are mainly on the power side. And I think that's universal. That's, you know, a problem whether you're in Australia or you're in America or in Europe, because you're dealing with sourcing power from an electrical grid that is decades old. And, you know, you're essentially trying to power AI off crumbling infrastructure.
Absolutely. So, you know, moving on to what everyone's probably like interested hearing, you know. So your preference is TSMC. You see TSMC as a more compelling asset equity compared to NVIDIA. Like, why is that the case?
Yeah, we prefer to own TSMC as we believe it's been tested over the course of numerous semiconductor cycles. And what we've seen over these cycles is as it's emerged each time, its economic footprint, its competitive advantage has strengthened. And so, you know, they've now reached a point where they have a monopoly on fabricating semiconductor processes. And it's really important to understand that this monopoly has formed from not only the technological side, but also the physical infrastructure side. So you're looking at a business that has real competitive advantage in complex chemistry and physics required to build these semiconductors. And it's the process and know-how that has accumulated over years and decades of practice of this to the point where they have 90% market share. Now, their physical advantage lies in being located in Taiwan and increasingly overseas. But when you look at their physical footprint in Taiwan, they're very closely located or co-located with their suppliers. So if they have any operational issues in terms of their manufacturing process or an outage at their plant, they can just call up their supplier and the supplier will be over in 5 minutes, you know, at 2 a.m. in the morning. Now, NVIDIA is a bit of a different company because they derive a lot of their competitive advantage from intellectual property. It's a what you call a fabless semiconductor company. So they have no manufacturing capabilities of their own. They're reliant on TSMC. Now, this is all well and good, and NVIDIA has been around for a few cycles as well. However, it lacks the physical infrastructure that we really like in terms of TSMC. And so we're not as comfortable with it. I sort of view the risk of technological obsolescence as much higher in a company like NVIDIA, whereas TSMC, it's very hard to replicate that chemistry and physics, the hard science behind fabricating a chip.
I guess we can both agree, like, you know, they're sort of leaders in their own space. Interestingly, they both provided a five-year outlook not long ago and, you know, both really having some really promising numbers and you might say ambitious. So In this case, like, what are some of the factors that are really substantiating these long-term predictions?
Yes, this is all to do with the global AI infrastructure build-out. So the TAM that NVIDIA has talked about is a $3 to $4 trillion TAM in a decade or so's time. And when they're talking about that number, that encompasses all the physical infrastructure required to build the data center, everything from the chips to the servers to the power infrastructure. But what we sort of see is that, you know, some of those critical components like the semiconductors, you know, that TSMC provides will increasingly become a greater share of that overall TAM. And that's really driven by, you know, as TSMC moves to more advanced nodes, the cost per wafer rises quite significantly. And these advanced nodes are really required to lower the power consumption in the data center. So we're looking at the size of the TAM in the data center really being driven by these necessity to have these chips in there to reduce the strain on the grid, because it goes back to my earlier point around power consumption. That is the critical piece we need to be solving for. And so TSMC technology inside the data center is going to be very critical to, you know, lowering those power costs and the strain on the grid in order to, you know, power these AI applications that are going to be used in enterprise and consumer products.
So looking at the AI space, you know, and the computer chip like manufacturing space in a global view, so China's recent boycott of NVIDIA has certainly sparked some attention to this space. You know, without going too much into politics, I think it's interesting to see like what their in-house, you know, companies like Alibaba, you know, DeepSeek, Huawei can sort of develop. So they sort of relying on their domestic technology in terms of developing all these AI capabilities. Wouldn't that sort of tarnish NVIDIA's and, you know, TSMC's early predictions?
Yeah, it's an interesting development that's occurred and it's arisen because of geopolitics and the need for China to reduce reliance on the TSMC's of the world. So currently, NVIDIA does lead Huawei in AI chips by 1 to 2 generations. And the constraint on the Chinese side is really their ability to get to more advanced nodes. So I think currently they're sort of at that 5-nanometer mark and they're trying to push down towards 3-nanometer, 2-nanometer. So what you're really seeing is that Huawei does have gaps in terms of the ability to meet the same performance as NVIDIA. But what you do see is that their R&D budget is 3 times the size of NVIDIA. So there is a risk at some point, maybe in the next decade, that they do catch up to NVIDIA. And really, this push by Huawei and the Chinese government to develop their own AI infrastructure is really to reduce reliance on TSMC and, you know, become more self-sufficient, so to speak. If we look at the financial impact to NVIDIA from a potential, you know, rise of Chinese self-sufficiency, so to speak, or Huawei, you know, China currently accounts for 15 to 20% of NVIDIA's revenue. So it's hard to say what portion could be at risk because we have a number of factors that are already hampering NVIDIA's entry into the Chinese market from US export restrictions. However, you know, we could feasibly see a low to mid-single digit impact from the rise of the Huawei's of the world because their chips are currently significantly cheaper than NVIDIA's chips. And also, you know, when you think about it, if the Chinese market were to open up to the rest of the world, this would drive down the cost of AI GPUs, which could also hurt NVIDIA's margins. So it's not out of the realms of possibilities that it will hurt NVIDIA. However, when we move towards TSMC, the impact is somewhat reduced. We would estimate maybe a low single-digit impact because NVIDIA is currently about 20% of TSMC's high compute sales, which are, again, a small portion of NVIDIA's overall total sales. So the impact is not, we would not consider huge.
That makes sense. And, you know, we sort of seen this in terms of mobile phones, smartphones, like, you know, they've jumped out and become like prominent players against like Samsung, Apple as well. So it's really interesting to see how it develops in this space. So how can they ensure they can maintain that quality?
Well, it all goes back to the amount of research and development they're willing to spend. And we've seen that, you know, whilst they do lag NVIDIA, it's not out of the realms of possibility that their performance at some point does match. And all this being said, if they do achieve equal performance at a lower cost, that's beneficial for everyone.
So finally, I want to talk about, in terms of investors, how should they navigate this space, just looking at the very fluctuating dynamics that's going on right now?
Yes, my advice would be to focus on companies with a sustainable competitive advantage. So something that is hard to replicate, that gets stronger over the course of economic cycles. So you want a business that has been around for a few cycles, you know, experienced some hardship and emerged stronger out the other side. And then when you look at their balance sheet, you want a rock solid balance sheet, minimal debt. And then hopefully you can find a business where management has some skin in the game because ultimately, you know, you want the management team to be feeling the pain with you should a downturn occur. And hopefully they have a strong enough balance sheet to support the business through that downturn and emerge stronger out the other side.
Absolutely. Those are all the questions I have for you today. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this Financial Standard podcast. For more information, visit financialstandard.com.au. Please keep in mind that the information discussed in this podcast is general in nature and does not consider personal circumstances. Reliance should not be placed on any content without further independent financial research and advice.